God, we gather this day grateful for the promise of your presence. Not even for the trappings of celebration that surround us, but the joy that lives inside us by the power of your Spirit. May we not only know that joy, but may we be animated by it, that every part of our community would reflect the goodness and love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
As I mentioned over the last year or so, this first verse of Psalm 133, it is good when people dwell together in unity, has been a big theme. People have aspired to that. They've written about it. They've sung it. But let's be honest. After that, the hymn takes a weird turn. This business about Aaron's beard and oil running down the head. And at some point this week, I thought to myself, I found myself imagining, and I don't know where these things enter my brain, but I thought of an award show like the Oscars or the Emmys, and I thought that the host would be standing at the podium and he would say something like, and the winner of the category of best opening line followed by weirdest rest of the lines is Psalm 133. And David and Aaron would come running, and David is happy, and Aaron's got this big oily beard and stains all down the front of his robe, and everybody tried to figure out, why are they talking about dew on Mount Hermon? What is going on here?
These images are images that reflect celebration by pulling out the stops, getting the best that you have in the cupboards and bringing it out. We all know that when we say, well, we're going to go get the spiral cut ham this month, right? That idea that we're going to go to the furthest extent because this is worth celebrating. The very images in the New Testament, killing the fatted calf, going to the furthest end to make it clear this is worth putting a stake in the ground and celebrating. It costs something. And the image makes sense to those for whom the oil on the beard is extravagant. And right, going to the mountain is beautiful. But to those who have different markers, maybe different images would be helpful. Maybe it's the parade that we go to, that we join our family with every year. Maybe it's the Thanksgiving meal where we gather around, or the Christmas tradition. These are the moments where we pull out the stops. And I think these are the images that this psalm calls to mind.
Yeah, maybe something like the 4th of July celebration. This is a national kind of language. It's a part of a section of psalms called the Ascent Psalms. And they're celebrations of Israel. And we don't really get that. And so that part of the psalm doesn't track with us very well. But that first verse gets us. It is good when people live together. It is good when people gather. That we get. In fact, we may get that in a way that we haven't often gotten it. In the absences of this last year, we now know something more about how good it is when people can be together. We've lost some of that. Some of it we now admit we took for granted. Some of those celebrations, some of those family gatherings, something as simple as going to an event that you like, that you wanted to do, something as simple as going to the nursing home to visit a loved one. It is good when people are together. I think perhaps we understand that in a way that we might have missed previously.
We are currently going through Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, and that's happening every Wednesday as part of the podcast. I'd certainly invite you to join us for that, but in his description of Christian community, Bonhoeffer describes that as Christians, we're grateful for the community that actually exists, not the one that we wish exists. And what's interesting is, I don't know if this was your experience, it convicted me very early on. I missed people. I missed being with people and worship and being in the same room until I started seeing people again. And I realized maybe the other one wasn't so bad. The short half-life of recognizing it's good to be with others, it's easy to feel like we miss others when we don't have to put up with others. It's good when we dream about what we think community should be or would be if everyone else would just act and think like us. But that's not actual community, and that's not what this is saying. It's good to be together means all of our rough edges together. Us bouncing off each other and disagreeing with each other and all trying to, you know, sort of find a way forward, because it's not just the enjoyment of being good together. That's not what makes it good. It's that it makes us better. Individually, we grow as we navigate life together. We grow when we support others in their pain because we're reminded that we will need them in our own. Good is not just pleasant, though it is pleasant. It's also challenging, and it moves us deeper in faith and deeper into this thing that we learn is unity.
For the first time in about 16 months, we're going to have the opportunity in a few minutes to come to the table together. It is, for Christians, perhaps our best expression of what community means, what it means to be together. In a few minutes after the service, we will all have an opportunity to eat more calories than any of us need today. But this is the feast. This is where we understand abundance. It is this table that feeds our spirits. And our spirits then let us connect with other spirits to be community. It is not being in proximity that makes us the church. It is not being in the church that makes us the church. It is being in Jesus Christ together. And at the table, we each hear the invitation to come not only to Christ, but to his people. It is good when people are together. It is pleasant when we gather.
So, you know that Presbyterians do lots of things, and some of them we try to roll our eyes, and others we try to forget. One of the things that Presbyterians, I think, get right comes from our Reformed heritage of the table. Because some Christian traditions, when they think of the table, they think that the thing that happens on the table is the thing that matters. It's the elements that when you come here and you do the right thing, the stuff that happens is on the table. But Presbyterians have pointed to a thing that we have a long history of pointing to, and that is the thing that matters about this. It's not just a symbol, it's an experience, it's a transformative moment, is that the congregation, that's you, that's me, that's us, we, instead of thinking of the action on the table, should imagine that the table and us are being raised. Imagine as if the entire room was lifted into the heavens and suddenly we were in the presence of Jesus himself. So the person standing behind the table was Jesus inviting all of us to come. Can you see how beautiful of an image that is? That the thing that transforms is not just the thing on the table, but the hearts of every person who are called around it. They're not transformed because of some magical thing that happens in this stuff. It changes because we are changed together. That is the power of the table. And I think that's the power of what we find at the table, is it's more than just sort of a feel-good moment. It expresses true spiritual unity, which is the crux of this text. It's not just that it's good to be together. It's that in Christ, we can't get away from one another. In Christ, we are united. We are all lifted together. And so therefore, we're committed to one another, come what may. We find it is beautiful. It is good to find community, but it is God's will that we become united in that effort.
And that's the challenge of the passage, ultimately. Even our introverts would say occasionally, it is good when people are together. Though they might say, it's even better if I can watch it from a ways off. But the last word of the text is, it is good when people live together in unity. It is not just being in the same place. In the last year, we've been desperate, some of us, to be in the same place. But that's only the beginning of the story, and that is never the end of the story for the church. We are grateful. Friends, we are thankful to be able once again to gather in this sanctuary, to be able to do things like fellowship, coffee, pancakes, all the rest of it. But being in the same proximity is not being community. Because community demands that we remember that we are connected in Jesus Christ. Being in the same room does not make us a people. Being together makes us people. Being affected by one another. Being tolerant of one another. Being forgiving of one another. Not allowing our differences to become divisions. These are the things that make for church, and that is not easy. We might find that it's joyful to gather right now, but that is the beginning of the journey to be church. The true point of our gathering is to remember that we find our connection, we find our oneness and our purpose together in the one who invites us, in the one who calls us, in the one who gave himself for us. It is good that we gather, but it is best when we find unity in Jesus Christ.
Because unity in community requires our work, but our work doesn't create unity. I think I've admitted this, and I'm grateful for all of the farm and agricultural families in our church. I know nothing about plants or growing anything. And so, you know, I love to ask questions about how does this work and how does this work. And you know what's fascinating to me about watching people who really have a green thumb? They do all of this work and they aren't the one responsible for the thing that grows, right? They help it along. In fact, they make it possible. They weed it, they water it, they find the right spot for it in the shade, right? They affect the circumstances of growth, but only God makes it grow. Only God enlivens and gives vitality to that plant. That's the amazing thing, is it takes work, but it's not your work that does it. It takes work for us to find unity. We have to be patient and kind and loving. We have to be forbearing. We have to forgive one another when we inevitably fail. We have to support one another in moments of our darkest nights. That is the work we do, but it is not that work that makes us one. It is Christ's work. It is the life that he brings in our midst that we receive. And as a response to that, it transforms who we are.
Friends, as we give thanks again today for the opportunity, the privilege of worship, and the invitation to the table, and an opportunity for fellowship, among all of that, we are most grateful for our call to be one in Christ. This is ultimately what sustains us as a church. It is not simply gathering in this place that makes us Christian. It is other Christians. We need one another on this journey in order to practice our faith, in order to be the church together. In the name and in the presence of Jesus Christ, may we continue to pursue that, and may it be true in here and in us today and always. Amen.